Welcome to Marilyn Solutions with Reverend Marilyn, the speaker for the new millennium. Join Marilyn as she talks with guests offering a wide range of talents and information. And now, here's Marilyn.
Welcome to Marilyn Solutions. I'm so glad you're here joining me today. Our guest is Dr. Turk Logan, author of Rap, Ritual, and Reality. We have a copy of his book here for you today, and if you call in, if you're our third caller, we'll be glad to have you come by and pick up your book. It's fascinating to read. I read it this weekend, couldn't put it down. So hopefully you'll be wanting to listen to the program today and call in. Our numbers for Pierce County are 253-584-1480. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. King County, toll-free, 253-804-5765. King County, 253-804-5765. I want my listeners to tell the sponsors of this show that they're listening to the program and you heard them on the air, and they'll be so pleased you did. And now I'd like you to hear all about Dr. John C. Logan, Jr. He has done lots of amazing things so far, and I want to introduce him. He began his radio career as Turk Logan in Dayton in 1971. It was the first FM station in USA to program music to the black community. He was the host of the music television show Soul Down on TV2, station WDTN-TV. He became the music director of WDAO-FM, and as the program director of that station, he was responsible for promoting groups from Dayton at that time, and Turk became known as the father of the Dayton sound. He hosted a radio show called Backpage, and in 1977, he was invited to a London corporate meeting of the CBS Records Company to address the meeting regarding creating successful small market programming. He's a member of the Free Accepted Masons, and he has also run for the Ohio State House of Representatives with the support at that time of President Ronald Reagan. He founded the Academy of Broadcasting, which was Ohio's first minority-owned and operated school of broadcast communications. He came to Central State University in Wilberforce, Ohio, to manage the William H. and Camille O. Crosby Center for Mass Communications, where he created the Urban Jazz format for WCSU-FM. This station was named Black College Radio Station of the Year in 1994. Turk received his Doctor of Philosophy, congratulations, Turk, in Mass Communications and Popular Culture, and from the Union Institute Graduate School in Cincinnati, Ohio. In fact, the book we're talking about today is part of his doctorate dissertation. He was inducted into the Dayton Area Music Hall of Fame. He is the author of 4 books and is included in the Who's Who Among African American Males. And last year, he was named General Manager of the Year at the Black College Radio National Convention. He's a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Incorporated Fraternity. And he has last year just put out his third edition for Rap, Ritual, and Reality, the book we're talking about today. And we also have an extra guest in our studio today. The station manager of KLAY is with us, Bob McCluskey. And he's interested in what Turk has to say also. But first, Turk, would you like to tell the audience what your background is and how did you become interested in music?
Well, first of all, Marilyn, I need to have my producer, Jim Boss, call you and hire you as a press agent, because that was one of the best ones I've heard. Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity of being on your radio program today. And I'd like to say hello to your station manager as well. My career started as a teenager, actually way, way before that. It actually started in about the mid-50s. I wanted to be an astronaut, and I was a little guy about 7 years old and sent a letter to then-President Eisenhower, and we had just sent, I think Russia had just sent Sputnik up. And so I said, well, you know, I saw that on our black and white television. I said, that's what I want to do. I want to be an astronaut. So I sent President Eisenhower this scribbled-out letter, and he wrote me back. And, you know, when you're a seven-year-old and you get a letter from the White House, and back then they had a big plastic gold seal on the back of it, and you knew it was official. And so the letter said, Dear John, thank you for your interest in the space program. Here's what I suggest you do. First you get out of grade school, then you get out of high school, then you go to college, then you go to graduate school, and who knew what a graduate school was at 7 years old? And after you graduate from graduate school, then you apply to the space program, and if you're good enough, you might be an astronaut. And I sit down and, you know, we didn't have calculators, and I started to count on my fingers, and said, wait a minute, I'll be 20 years old. I'll be too old to do that. And so I changed my career to broadcasting after I got the letter from the President of the United States.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that's a true story. And so we didn't have FM radio. FM radio wasn't even popular then. And so I started listening to some of the great announcers in Dayton, Ohio, on the AM dial, and started emulating some of them when I had the opportunity to be around some of my friends. Unfortunately, like you and I talked offline a couple days ago, I lost my father to lung cancer in 1959. I had to leave Catholic school and integrated all-white school in 1959, which was, I was already traumatized by losing my dad, being an only child. My mother had a very severe drinking problem, and going to a school where I wasn't quite wanted just made it real difficult. And so I got sidetracked, but the Lord blessed me. As I got older, I went to a local broadcasting school in Dayton, Ohio. Upon completion, a little article came out in the paper about local broadcasting student graduated from school looking for a job in radio, and a big 50,000-watt FM station called me up in late 1970, early 71, and offered me a job. And I was there for 13 years, and what you read on the front end of that, that's how all that evolved, because I was able to go to, my first job was at a big 50,000-watt FM station in Dayton, Ohio called WDAO, and which the acronym was for We Dominate All Over, or West Dayton, Ohio. Yeah, and we started as a on-air personality from about 1970-71 to 1975, and then we were offered the job as music director, and then from music director, still being on the air in afternoon drive, then program director in 1976, and I was there to 1980, late 82, early 83, and I had a wonderful experience. And with running for a state representative, I put a platform together and thought the Republican Party might need a minority in Dayton, Ohio to run. And I had talked to Ronald Reagan when I was in Dayton radio, and he was governor of the state of California. He called me and asked me if he could come on my radio program to talk about what he would do if he was elected in as president. I think that was in 1979 because he was first elected in 1980. And I was a little reluctant because I didn't know a lot about Reagan as a politician. I knew a lot about him as an actor. But I had him on my talk show. He was warm, very personable, and we had a great program. And he beat Jimmy Carter in 1980 and became president. And so in 1984, when he was running for reelection, he had his whistle-stop tour in Dayton, Ohio, and he asked the candidates to be on the stage with him. This was an outdoor arena. There were like 80,000 people down downtown in downtown Dayton. I was the only minority male candidate on the ticket at the time. I was an endorsed candidate for state representative. And so President Reagan, as you know, he had already been shot. He was recovering from that. So Secret Service was very, very high profile. We had to go through Secret Service clearance. I sat right behind the president. We chatted for a brief moment, and it was just a very, very rewarding experience to talk to the man and then 4 years later be on stage with him, because I think he's a great man. Anytime you're president of the United States of America, you know, you don't get there by being just an average person. And,
right.
and I have a lot of respect for him. And so that was a great experience. But the funny thing that happened about that was my daughter, who was just getting ready to go into her teens, if I recall. And I said, Tina, you know, the President of the United States of America wants you to be on stage with him, and he wants to meet you. She said, Ronald Reagan, Dad? I said, yeah. She said, no, I'm not interested. I said, well, wait a minute. Now, this is the president. So about a year later, when Michael Jackson came to town and she asked me for some tickets, I said, no, you don't get tickets to Michael Jackson, because you couldn't be on stage with your dad with the President of the United
States. Shame on you.
Yeah.
Well, the reason we're here today, Turk, is to talk about your great book, Rap, Ritual, and Reality. And we're talking about gangster rap, and we have a few minutes here before Bill Bob has to leave. So we're talking about, you know, Bill Cosby tried to buy NBC.
Right.
You talk about that in your book.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about how laws have changed in the broadcasting area and arena to rather keep out minorities from having access to ownership in broadcasting, especially radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in this case, he was trying to buy the NBC situation. But how does that affect what goes out over the radio waves and the media for, you know, the average listener? How did the laws change, and what was the effect of that kept him from being able to purchase that?
Well, one of the things that happened was the Old Boy Network. There were the stations that were owned by white males, and that was the way it was in America. And so one of the things that Ronald Reagan did when he was president of the United States, he deregulated the Federal Communication Commission. He took all the rules and regulations out, which opened up an opportunity for many minorities to purchase radio stations. As a result of what he did back in 1984 and what Bill Clinton did with the Telecommunications Act in 1995 has created a phenomenon with minority women and minority males with the ownership of radio stations. But there's still a monopoly. Look at Clear Channel today in the market. Clear Channel is predominantly a white male-owned operation, even though they do have some minority general managers, I think, around the country. But they own 2,000-plus radio stations in the country. Bill Cosby, who had the, from what I understood, had the financial wherewithal to pull off an acquisition like ABC, and I don't know if it, I mean NBC. I don't know if it was up for sale at the time, but I know he made an offer for it and ran into that same situation. Well, unfortunately, it's not the same situation for radio today as it is for television. You don't have as many minority owners in television as you do in radio. And so eventually that's going to, I'm sure it's going to change because of the minority owners in radio are getting to the point to where they want to spread out a little bit more and get into the television side of it. So maybe it was a little premature. I've had a great experience with Dr. Cosby here at the Cosby Center. He has an office here, and we dedicated the Cosby Center to he and his wife, Camille O. Cosby, and they've donated money to Central State University over the years, and we've had a great experience with him. And, I don't think it deterred his ambition to own it. I just think his probably timing was probably not right, and unfortunately he ran into, I'm sure, that racism, that undertone of racism.
Well, Jerk, we're going to take a break here.
Okay.
And Bob has some questions for you.
All right.
So don't go away, and everybody out there, we're going to find out more about this and more about rap music and what's happening to it today with our teenagers. It's not what we want them to be listening to, and that's what his book's about, the devastation of what's going on in our country. If you're not aware, stay tuned to find out what's going on with your teenagers. We'll be back in a moment. Back to Solutions with Marilyn. We're having a rousing discussion today with Turk Logan about rap, ritual, and reality. And if you want your copy of that book, please call us, Pierce County, 253-584-1480. King County, 253-804-5765. And we'll be sure that you get a copy of that book. All you need to do is give us a call and let us know you're wanting to do that. We also have Reverend Rodney Romney's book, the wonderful book he wrote on spirituality called Wilderness Spirituality, available. And people that are interested in supporting this program and getting a book, in my opinion, it's better than most of the spiritual books on the bestseller list for only $25, which all the proceeds go to keeping this program on the air. We sold another one last night. Don't wait. Get your copy before they're all gone. He was generous to donate them, and we're glad he is. And just give us a call as soon as you decide that's what you want, is a copy of Wilderness Spirituality for yourself, at 253-845-4907, or email me for a copy of Wilderness Spirituality to be sent to you at marilyn@angelicasgifts.com. This is an opportunity for you to suggest a topic or a program that you would like to hear on Solutions with Marilyn. And by contributing to this program, we'd be glad to have you as a supporting member. All right. We want to get back with Turk right now, and Bob is here, and he would like to make some comments, Turk.
Hello, Dr. Logan. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good. We have a copy of your book here. It's an awesome book. Boy, there's a lot of thought into this, and it makes for some interesting reading, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
I do have to agree with you that here in the Northwest area, there's more minority radio than probably there's ever been before. And I think it has more to do with the financial ability for them to acquire the station much more than it does being a minority or not.
Yeah, I think you're right. At this point in time, I was talking offline at the station that I worked at was a combo AM/FM, and in 1985 it was sold for $4.5 million. And to the average person, that's a lot of money for an AM/FM station. If it was sold today, it would probably be sold for anywhere from $15 to $20 million. And so you can see how the numbers have changed. I think that it's still the lion in the mouth syndrome. You still have the Clear Channels with over 1,000 stations and the Radio 1 with, I think, 163 stations. That's Kathy Hughes, who's out of Washington, D.C. But again, I look at it like this. You got to start somewhere, and I think my druthers, 20 years ago, I wanted to own my own radio station, and that's always been my dream, but I don't know if I'd take on a $5 or $6 million debt at my age right now, and so I'm stepping back looking at it, and then we've got a station here on the air that we're doing well with that's on 24 hours a day. So, I've seen some growth. In Dayton, Ohio alone, right now there are 5 minority-owned radio stations in Dayton, Ohio alone, which is, I think it's the 52nd market in the country. And so,
and how was that, say, 10 years ago? How does that compare to 10 years ago?
There were none at all.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
So there's been some growth in the industry. 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, there weren't that many. So there's some growth in the industry. But one of the things that we talked about, when I was on the air in Dayton Radio, I was listening to a song called Come Inside My Love. It was a great artist by the name of Minnie Riperton. And one of the things that I talk about when I'm around the country is people hear radio or hear things, but they don't listen to it. And so consequently, Minnie Riperton was talking about sex. And I started listening to the music that was coming down the airwaves. Then there was a song by Prince called Soft and Wet, The Connotation. And there was another song by Rick James called Super Freak.
Now, let me ask you, is being an experienced radio person, how do you sell advertising to a local cleaners or a local clothing store if they're promoting that kind of music?
Well, we don't. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, not you specifically, but the industry.
Yeah. Well, we have double standards in America, unfortunately. And we sell these double standards, and we say we don't want one thing, but we do it. I'll give you a perfect example. A kid by the name of Busta Rhymes, who's a rapper, a very, very, very powerful rapper, sells a lot of music with a genius as a president, Clive Davis, who's the president of their record label, and this guy is just a genius in the record industry. But Busta Rhymes has a big Mountain Dew commercial. You see him with driving the Mountain Dew truck and selling all the special effects that go with it. But if you go on the internet and look at his lyric content, I mean, it is just grossly inflated with explicit lyrics and talking about sex and drugs and using the N-word and the F-word and whatnot. And so here we are, putting this kid out front in America and showing how he can sell this beverage for America, but if you look at the core of what he actually does to get to that point, it's something that I wouldn't want to be associated with. And so that's why I say we have double standards. And so many radio stations, even in Dayton, Ohio, are getting away with playing a lot of explicit lyrics with the some of the rules being softened in the FCC. And so
well, they do it because those listeners will come in and buy their product.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And as long as the listeners are buying the product, then they're going to keep continuing to do it. We don't play rap music here, per se, at WCSU Radio. And so I'm always the bad guy because, you know, we don't play any rap music, whether it's good rap music or bad rap music. We don't play any at all.
But who are you the bad guy to?
To the college kids. You
right.
know, we get the
sure.
college kids sure. that are coming from...
And what percentage of the college kids?
Probably 100%.
Really? Oh, that surprises me. I thought you'd say about 10.
No, it's a high percentage. It's a very high percentage. It's probably not 100% because we have a big gospel audience, but it's a very, very high percentage.
A significant amount of people.
Yeah, significant amount of people that listen to this particular type of music, and it's very unfortunate. What I've been doing around the country, and I told Marilyn, this is my 83rd interview. And since October of last year, I've talked to, I guess, about 20-plus million people. And two things I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get parents to start to listen to the music that their youngsters are listening to. Let me read to you a little bit of what was being sold at Kmart. And Kmart was actually...
Now, we don't have a beeper here, so you
okay.
have...
Okay, I don't go into any,
I know,
any explicit... But,
but
you're right, we need to discuss that, and I do discuss that on the front end, because I know all the shows that I've done have been on all family shows.
Right.
But it says Kmart...
we've got here.
Yeah, it says Kmart sells violence and vulgarity. I think Kmart just filed bankruptcy, and mm-hmm. so it says the American Family Association is urging shoppers to boycott Kmart because of the refusal to stop selling graphically violent and sexually perversive music and CDs. Here are the lyrics. It says, I effed my cousin in his a-hole, slit my mother's throat. For my little sister's birthday, she'll remember me. I had 10 of my boys take her virginity. And it goes on and on and on with very explicit lyrics. This CD shipped 15 million copies. This is what our youngsters are walking around with in their headphones listening to this type of music. And this kid, Eminem, is not the only rapper. He happens to be a white male rapper, one of the biggest rappers in the country. He's not the only rapper in the country that's using what we call murder music, gangster music, to poison the minds of many of these youngsters.
Dr. Logan, what anger there must be out there and what frustration for that to be accepted by kids that are so young.
And you're 100% right. And then what we're trying to do is get parents to start to listen to the music and have some dialogue with their youngsters about the music. This came out on the Internet in Mediascope, Youth and Violence in the Music. 48% of Americans say that violence in popular music should be more heavily regulated. And 59% would like to see some type of restriction with violent music be over that as an umbrella to restrict some of that violent music.
Well, I like your approach. Regulation begins in the home with the parents.
Exactly.
And I have a son that went through the stage, and when I took that kind of music away, it was a tough deal. He was upset with me, but in the long run, he understood, and it's a tough deal for the parents to regulate like that, because it's easier to say, well, go listen to it. But
it's easier to walk away from
sure.
it.
I had a real strange experience in my house when my son was growing up, and I walked by his bedroom one day, and it felt really uncomfortable vibrations in there, and I thought, what is going on? And it dawned on me that he had some records in there that I didn't approve of. I asked him, this is one of the few times he did what I asked, to remove those records from the room, and would you believe it really made a difference in the atmosphere of the home? It was much more comfortable with him not even being there. I was very appreciative that he followed my request.
Well, it does have an effect on the subconscious mind, with especially youngsters that are so immature. And if this is all they have to fall back on, think of the reaction when a four-year-old walks into a classroom and shoots another four-year-old. Think of a reaction when a 12-year-old who couldn't talk to a young lady the last day of school walks into the classroom with a gun and shoots a teacher in the head and blows his brains out. This young man, we lost a great teacher, and this kid will be in prison the rest of his life. Think of the impact of kids like Columbine walking through high schools with assault weapons, or the kid several months ago that just crashed a plane into a building. And so we talk about 911 and some of the things that are happening around the world and are happening around America, but we don't see some of the things that are happening right next door to us, or right in our own house, or right in our own bedrooms, or in our cars or whatnot. How many times have we been sitting at a streetlight on a warm summer day with the windows down, and a young man or a young woman pull up next to you with their hat on backwards, you hear the music coming from a mile away, you hear all these explicit lyrics blasting out, you don't know what to do, you don't want to roll your windows up, you want the light to turn green so you can drive off.
Definitely.
My response to that is, you can run, but you can't hide, because it's not only in the black neighborhood, it's in the gated communities, it's all over the world.
Sure.
And the color's not black or white, it's green. It's about dollars. It's a billion-dollar industry.
Right.
So one of the things that we've been trying to do, Marilyn and Dave, is take music with blatant violent lyrics and get a law passed to take that music with blatant violent lyrics and put it behind the counter,
right,
so you must be 21 years old to buy it, like Mothers for Drunk Driving, alcohol, tobacco, adult magazines, and maybe we'll get some attention across America, and maybe we can get a bill passed to get that done. And so we're not advocating censorship. We're not advocating beating up on the youngsters or banning it. What we're advocating is responsibility.
I right. think that's terrific. And we're going to stop here, Turk, for a minute. We have some messages to share with everybody, but we just appreciate what you're saying because people need to know that their kids are listening to this stuff and the damage it does. So stay in there, Turk.
Good to talk with you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Okay. Thanks, Bob, for showing up to part of the program. We're glad you were here today.
Thank you.
We'll be back in just a few moments and find out more about gangster rap from Turk Logan. Thanks. Welcome back to Solutions with Marilyn. We're here today with Turk Logan and his book, Rap, Ritual, and Reality. We have a copy for you. All you have to do is call in and let us know that you want a copy of this book. Our third caller will receive a copy. Call Pierce County 253-584-1480 and King County 253-804-5765. Remember to visit or call the people who sponsor this program. You've been listening to their messages in just a few minutes ago, and again, they'll be on again before we leave the airs, and let them know you heard their message on this show. And if you wish to reach me for counseling, classes, or reading for you or your party, past life regression, or to talk to someone passed over, give me a call at 253-845-4907 or email me at marilyn@angelicasgifts.com. We are having a rousing discussion today with Turk Logan, who is with us. And we want to know, Turk, are you aware that it's not always just the lyrics? I had a situation where a friend of mine was traveling in Africa, and they were going to go to a Christian rock concert, and they met some people in Africa and said, hey, we want you to go with us. And so while they were sitting in the concert, the people that were living in Africa apparently were more familiar with some of the context of what makes and goes into the music. And they said to the American people visiting, they said, how come the drummer is calling the demons? And apparently, even though this is a Christian rock group, whatever rhythms that were going on in the drum section were not Christian, obviously. They were not even healthy. And I wonder how many people are aware that sometimes there's more than just the lyrics going on in this situation.
Well, I just thought about this while you were explaining that. Does secondhand smoke cause cancer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, secondhand music would cause the same kind of problem. You know, you talked basically off the air about many youngsters, and I call it a cop-out, say, oh, Dad or Mom, I'm not listening to the words, I'm only listening to the music.
Right.
That is a cop-out. And so without getting into a confrontation with your youngster, let them know, ladies and gentlemen, it is impossible to listen to music with lyric content and not hear the lyrics. It's impossible. Now, you may not be paying attention to them, but they're being programmed into your subconscious.
Exactly.
And they're going to be there for many, many years. If I say something in The Way She Moves, I'm talking about George Harrison, a great song that was recorded over 30 years ago. If I say You Got a Smile So Bright, I'm talking about The Temptations. That's music that was programmed into my subconscious that I remember. If I hear it on the radio, if I'm riding through a particular city and I hear it, I start singing along with it. And that's where the danger comes in with this music that have these blatant, violent lyrics. It's going to be in the subconscious of our youngsters from as young as 3 years old up to the time, almost from the womb to the tomb. And another danger is many of these youngsters' parents have grown up into this music because this is going into over 20 years, going in almost 25 years now. So you got almost three generations starting that have grown up into this hardcore music that many of our youngsters are listening to. So consequently, it's going to take as long, in my professional opinion, to back out of this type of situation as it did for us to get into it. And we're into it pretty deep now because, again, it's a $1 billion industry. We have double standards in America. So the best approach is to start some dialogue with our youngsters. And just like you said, when you talk to your son, he listened to you and he followed your instructions. Everybody doesn't do that, but one of the safest ways to do it is say, look, one of these days you're going to be an adult. One of these days you're going to have bills to pay. One of these days you're going to have a home. You're going to have a wife or son and a daughter. And one of these days you're going to be a parent. Is this what you want your children to listen to? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is no when you're using such blatant language like the N-word and the F-word and the B-word and things of this nature, talking about killing cops and things of this nature. So you have to continuously let them know with love and with compassion that this music is not reality. It's not, when you're talking about going and getting a gun and shooting a cop, that's not reality, because police officers are trained to kill. They're going to shoot either the head or they're going to shoot it in the chest, and here you are, a 17 or 18 year old thinking you're a thug, and you're going to put a weapon at a police officer, you're going to get blown away. And so don't think it's popular to carry a weapon. Don't think it's popular to be a thug. Don't think it's popular to go to jail and get rewarded by getting a big rap contract. That is not popular, and you need to take a look at that, because some people might have success in it. The Snoop Doggy Dogs, the Dr. Dre's, some of these people may have success in it, but what about the people that don't, that get maimed or get wounded or go to jail and get killed while they're in jail? So we need to dispel that in America, because I think America has enough concerns right now with the Afghanistan situation and being on terrorist alert 24 hours a day.
Well, I think you just brought up a good point. It sounds to me like we have young terrorists right here in our own country we need to be concerned about.
Urban terrorists. I'm looking at a full-page ad called, in a trade publication, and it says, Little Troy, after serving 9 months in a federal penitentiary, is back out and balling. And you'll find it's very interesting as I close with this particular page. Here's a young man standing in front of a $300,000 silver Rolls Royce with probably $100,000 worth of jewelry on, and as the backdrop is a federal penitentiary. What's the message here? The message is go out, commit a heinous crime, and I'm talking about rape, robbery, and murder. Commit a heinous crime. Go to jail if you don't get killed along the way, and once you get out, your reward is a rap contract. Well, it says in stores 9/11/2001.
Yeah, I think that's interesting that you bring that up, because it's too visual, and the message is there. Even if some people are missing it, it's still there.
It's programming. It's conditioning.
Exactly.
And the experts know how that works, and that's why I say we need to take a look at our double standards that we are that's happening in America. Because unfortunately, when the terrorists hit the World Trade Center, or those that were in the Pentagon, there were black people, there were white people, there were people of all kind of cultures in those areas that died. And unfortunately, if any of this happens again, they're talking about hitting malls and things of this nature, all kinds of people are going to perish under this terrorist act that we're under right now.
Well, don't you think, Turk, that the media focuses so much on violence that substantiates it and encourages and just kind of creates more, because, you know, what you focus on grows. And well, that all that negativity that is focused on in the media just makes it even more so, instead of saying, hey, there's positive other ways to look at this and deal with it, and let's get some solution out there.
I think that, unfortunately, we show people that have ideas about terrorist acts, we give them templates too many times. We show them the Arnold Schwarzenegger roles on the air. We show them the Bruce, what's his name, Willis, Bruce Willis's. We show them the Morgan Freeman's. We show them there's a new movie coming out now about a bomb being dropped, a nuclear warhead being dropped. And we show them the templates of how to do these simple things. I mean, we put it right on the big screen. We put it on DVD. We put it in our homes. We put it on the news and whatnot. And then we're so surprised when it happens. I mean,
exactly. And that's what I'm trying to say, is let's replace it with healthier things.
Exactly. And that's what we need to do, because it is rocket science to some degree, because you almost have to be a rocket scientist to develop a nuclear warhead. But if I'm going to show you the ABCs of how to do it, or if I'm going to put it right on the Internet where you can go on the Internet and just print it out, then it's not rocket science. Any person with common sense could pull something like that off. And we need to take a look at some of the things that in America that we have put out in the public eye. I've been focusing on hardcore gangster rap music with heavily blatant lyrics in it. on my webpage, turklogan.com, T-U-R-K-L-O-G-A-N, turklogan.com, I ask 10 questions. I ask, do your kids listen to violent music or gangster rap music? Are your kids obsessed with violence because they're listening to radio and television? Do your kids like or do they dress like rappers or gang members? Or do you know what rappers or gang members look like? Number 5, do you know who your kids hang with? Number 6, and this one probably is the most important one, has your son or daughter been a victim of bullying? Number 7, is your son or daughter secretive about their activities? 8, is your son or daughter rebellious to authority, even yours? Number 9, does your son or daughter isolate him or herself? And number 10, do you think that violent music makes violent kids? And if you can't answer these questions, then you should pick up a copy of the book either on TurkLogan.com or Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The book is worldwide. It's a very, very popular book. It's been described by many broadcasters, Marilyn, as a handbook. It kind of gives you a template of what's going on. It kind of opens your eyes up. Again, we're not here to slam any rappers. We're not here to advocate censorship or banning. We're here to advocate responsibility, and America needs to be a little bit more responsible to ourselves because this thing is out of control.
And I really appreciate your telling people how to get hold of your book because that's important. I think that if they read this, their eyes would be just buggy. I know as I was reading it, you were very explicit as best you could be in that kind of a book. As you said, your distributor was very concerned about what was in it. But I think that people would really get their awakening call as to what's out there, and they have probably been hiding their head in the sand, and they need to get aware.
And see, too many of us, I find, and somewhat to some degree, I guess I can include myself, we're after-the-fact people. What I'm trying to get America to be aware of is be before the fact. Mm-hmm. If you see the signs of something happening, if you hear that music, if you see your youngsters rebelling or they're listening to negative music and whatnot, you're getting some signs that something even more could even happen. And so what you need to do, again, is sit down with your youngster, take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and talk to them and say, look, this is not real. Here's the reality. Here's the fantasy. And let's compare the two. And just like you did with your youngster, eventually some of them are going to pay attention and take it and make some positive things happen. It happens every day here at Central State. I talk to youngsters from Chicago, and from inner city Dayton, from Watson, California, all over the world, and they come in because they've been programmed and conditioned through high school with the music that they've listened to in their particular cities or at their high school radio stations. Then they run into somebody like me who explains the rules and regulations of the Federal Communication Commission, who explains the rules of to what we have, the dedication that we have to the community that we serve.
Turk, why do you think other radio stations haven't followed your lead in this policy and play this music anyway?
Capitalism.
Oh, okay, big bucks again.
Yeah, big bucks. And plus, one of the things that I've been in a minority radio station for, we call it black radio, for 31 years. And so I've always had to deal with things differently than the popular pop stations in the market, the ones that had all the ratings. So I learned early in life that ratings, as they come out through Arbitron or in television Nielsen, I don't play the ratings per se. I know people are out there. I know people are listening. But, you know, it's the old cliche in our business. You live by the book. You die by the book. So early in my broadcast career, you know, we had good ratings. We had bad ratings. But we knew we always had listeners. And so the ratings are what people, what broadcasters use to go out and sell advertising to make more money and to do these things. And so if you're playing this kind of music, this heavily laden gangster rap music, and you've got good ratings, you're going to continue to do that, unfortunately. I've always been one to do just the opposite. I've gone against the grain because, you know, I call it selling out. I call it selling my soul. And you, like you and I talked about off the air, I think from a spiritual standpoint, Marilyn, one of the devil's biggest paydays is in the entertainment industry.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, he collects souls left and right in the entertainment industry because it's such a fragile industry. It's such a fickle industry. If you give me success, if you give me gold albums, if you give me the Rolls Royces and the women and the drugs and everything to go along with it, I'll sell you my soul.
We're going to take a break here, Turk, and we want people to call in to Pierce County if they want a copy of your book since we're running low on time at this point. If you want to be just our first caller, that's okay. We'll let you have the book anyway. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. Get your free copy of Rap, Ritual, and Reality today. King County, 253-804. 5765. It is an eye-opening book. It is very powerful, and he wrote it with a lot of passion. I could sure feel it as I read it. Stay tuned while we hear these messages, and we'll come back and talk about the disease of violence and how we can need to get these kids into treatment and help them get healthy. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Welcome back to Solutions with Marilyn. We're so glad you're here today and you're finding out about rap music, gangster rap, and what it's doing out there. It's not helping our culture. It's not helping our society. It's making it worse, and it's growing. That's the sad part. So if you want to tune in next week, we have Kimberly Clark Sharp, who will be here to share her near-death experience, and IONS in Seattle, which is the organization that supports those situations and experiences. She has quite a ghost story to tell. So if you like ghost stories, next week's your week. The following week, we're going to hear Kim Miller, a local medium, and she and I will share our stories about talking with those passed over. And we're just, you're going to listen to a couple of John Edwards that are just local. So if you're interested in that, tune in again. And we wish to reach me for counseling, classes, private readings, or for your party, past life regression, or to speak to those passed over. Call me at 253-845-4907. And to make a contribution for this program to continue being on the air, call me at 253-845-4907 or email me at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com. We are always welcome to have more sponsors of this program, and you can also contact me for that. We'd love to have you supporting this program, getting information out like today that you really need to hear. And it isn't necessarily something that you like to hear about, but it's important, and that's what counts. So we're going to talk with Turk. Hopefully you can call in and get your copy of the book while we're still on the air today. And Turk, you know, so many people are not aware that the American Medical Association declared addiction a disease in 1956, and they also said violence is part of that addiction process. These kids are sick.
They definitely are, and here's something that we are not aware of. Maybe we are, maybe we aren't, but if we aren't, we should be. Is you can't take a 3 or 4 year old and sit him down in front of a television and let him watch Sesame Street and Big Bird and Barney and all these characters and ask him to learn his ABCs and count to 10, and then have him do that in front of grandma and the parents and aunts and uncles and sit there and say, oh, isn't that cute, and expect the same thing not to happen to him if he's watching BET or MTV or listening to any of this negative music. They may not. The only difference is a 3 or 4 year old doesn't know the difference between right and wrong or what's good and bad, and so it's just cute to them. And so, you know, we can't have it both ways, because these youngsters are getting it both ways. They're getting it on Sesame Street one way, and then BET and MTV and some of this hardcore music the other way. And so we need to take a look at that. That's why I say it should be responsible. The parents should take the majority of the responsibility and start telling these youngsters almost from the womb to the tomb at a very, very young age that the dangers of some of the music that they're being conditioned to.
It's like garbage in, garbage out. Just what you put in the computer is what you're going to get back.
Exactly. Trash in, trash out. One of the greatest programmers in the world, unfortunately, was Adolf Hitler. And what he did during the back in the black and white days of television, if you look at any of the black and white film, when the Jews were in the concentration camp, they had the big speakers, and he was constantly programming them, telling them that they would never be a race of people, and telling them that they weren't any good, and not feeding them, and constantly beating them down over and over and over again. And look how many people had almost a whole race was destroyed as a result of that. And that's happening in America today with some of the music that these youngsters are listening to. They're being programmed, they're being conditioned, and they don't even know it. And so consequently, when whatever anger, whatever triggers these youngsters from the standpoint of you can't do this, you can't just get off the phone, or come home at a certain time, or you got a bad grade, or whatever may be the case, something is going to trigger that because it's already in the subconscious, and that's where the illness comes in, Marilyn.
And so many people don't understand that young children up until they're 10 or 11 and 12 don't even know what reality is. They are not aware of what's rational.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're not living in their minds in the real world because so much of fantasy is thrown at them that can actually be reality. And so, consequently, we can see the danger signs. That's why I ask America to be before the fact and instead of after the fact, so we won't have another Columbine in America where youngsters are walking through high schools with assault weapons, just shooting youngsters at random. They saw the signs. If you look on the internet and start to read some of the material that is out there now, the signs were there, but nobody reacted to it. And so consequently, look the outcome. Same way that allegedly, and I use the word allegedly, with 911, there was supposedly a memo that's being circulated now within the ranks of the FBI. There were some signs there, and nobody allegedly paid any attention to it. Obviously, they didn't, because 911, unfortunately, and thousands of people were killed, is an after fact now. And what I'm saying to America is, when you see the signs, I'm not saying you should put up a red flag and say, you know, and fly your banner in front of your house, but you should be aware of it. Should make you aware of certain things that could possibly happen. I think too many people in America says, "Oh, not me. It's the person next door."
And that's called denial, Turk. And we've got to. This is you're a wonderful wake up call today to get people out there to realize violence is a disease, and your kids are involved. And we've got to get out of the denial and say there is a solution. How can we get these kids help? How can we get treatment? How can we get them into places where they can get healthy again?
And violent music, Marilyn, causes violent kids.
Exactly.
And so, again, I use the old cliche, it's not rocket science, it's just common sense that if we keep going programming these kids with this type of music, and I see it every day, I read about it every day, I talk about it every day, then that's what we're getting. Like you say, garbage in, garbage out. The book is Rap Rich on Reality. Violent Music Causes Violent Kids. It's on turklogan.com. We have a 1-800 number. Please write it down, 1-866-376-4634. That's 1-866-376-4634. Marilyn, this has been a great opportunity, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. And we want to talk to you again at some point in time and keep you updated on what's going on.
Yeah, we got a couple of minutes here yet, Turk, and it's really interesting because, you know, we're telling people what's really going on, and that's the truth, and it's kind of an old adage, the truth will set you free, but in this case, it truly is real, that it will set you free. You don't have to stay in that violence. You don't have to let it take you over and overcome you and lead you down. Addiction is chronic, progressive, and leads to death, and you can get out of that trap. You don't have to stay there. There is answers, and there is hope.
And there is help out there. People
exactly.
do want to talk to you. One of the things we're doing, Marilyn, with our mission around the world, and especially in America, is we're working very closely with Congress. We're working with Congressman Lee Terry, who is a member of the Congressional Oversight Committee on Media Violence and Youth. And I've been to Washington and visited Congressman Terry's office. He is very concerned about it, but he says, you know, Turk, you're one person. What has to happen is America needs to stand up and say enough is enough. Mothers Against Drunk Driving stood up after so many teenagers under the influence of alcohol and people under the influence of alcohol died. And so now it's an American law. Under the influence of alcohol. And we need to take this music with blatant violent lyrics and put it behind the counter so our babies just can't walk into record shops and bookstores and purchase it. Because if you take a clean version of a blatant CD and an edited version of a CD and you put them right next to each other, what do you think the youngsters are going to buy? They're going to buy the one that says parental advisory on it. Tipper Gore, back during the Clinton Gore.
I'm glad you're bringing this up. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. Tipper Gore, back during the Clinton Gore days, had a great vision to put parental advisory on it. She was the catalyst of that. Unfortunately, it didn't go far enough, in my opinion, because, you know, you still put it right out on the shelf for people to see. Now, when I see music come across my desk as general manager of the radio station here that has parental advisory, most of the time I don't even listen to it. So if I don't listen to it, I know it's not even going to be played. When record companies call my radio station and say, well, can I send you this type of music? I just tell them that we don't play hip-hop and we don't play gangster rap. We have an urban jazz format. So broadcasters need to buy into what Tipper Gore did and put pressure on the record industry to say, look, you know, we've had enough of this. We want to be able to live a wholesome life and a healthy life, and we think that some of the music, and it's not all of it, some of the kids, it's not all of them, some of the parents, it's not all of them, are reacting to the music that that's being produced in America today.
And Turk, we're so glad you were here today, because this violence problem is an epidemic. And
sure
we need to have compassion that things can change. We can break the denial of this disease, and they can get medical and appropriate treatment. And you have just been a terrific guest. I want to thank you for your appearance on this show today. It's been enlightening and informative. Sorry we didn't get a chance to get your book out there, but hopefully they'll call or check your web page and get hold of you. And we appreciate your time with us today, and we wish you well in getting that message out.
Marilyn, thank you, and God bless America.
Well, thank you, and we want our listeners to know they can sponsor this program by calling Clay, K-L-A-Y, at 253-584-1480. Get your message out there to the listening people. You can get your copy of Wilderness Spirituality by reaching me at Marilyn at AngelicasGifts.com. And you can call me at 253-845-4907. And if you choose to ensure this show being on the air, please check with me and pick your own topic and guest. Sponsoring this show, we'll see you next Wednesday. Stay tuned every Wednesday. Talk to you later. Have a great
You've
day.
You've been listening to Marilyn Solutions. Listen again next week for another informative show with guests from coast to coast. For a copy of today's program or a copy of her new book, Roses Have Thorns, and videotapes on empowerment and spiritual tools for healing domestic violence, write to KLAY in care of Marilyn Solutions, 10025 Lakewood Drive Southwest, Tacoma, Washington, 98499. Or visit her website at Marilyn@AngelicasGifts.com.
Many people are looking for a new direction and a lift in spirit. Hello, I'm Reverend Marilyn, a counselor, teacher for over 30 years, and a spiritual advisor for addictions, codependency, domestic violence, past lives, and holistic healing. Join me every Wednesday at noon for Marilyn's Solutions, a program sure to be of interest to everyone. We will talk with guests from coast to coast, offering a wide range of talents and information. That's Marilyn's Solutions, Wednesdays at noon on your news and information station, KLAY 1180.